Spanish golfer Seve Ballesteros finished second in the British Open in 1976. He was 19 years old. He went on to a career that included 5 major championships and spanned more than 3 decades. Ballesteros died of a brain tumor at the age of 54 last Saturday. His funeral Wednesday in Pedrena, Spain, attracted thousands of mourners and numerous golfers, including Colin Montgomery, Nick Faldo, and Jose Maria Olazabal. Joining me now is Sports Illustrated senior writer and Golf.com columnist Alan Shipnuck. Alan, welcome back to Only a Game.
I'm happy to be here.
Seve Ballesteros won 3 British Opens. He won the Masters twice, all this between 1979 and 88. Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and many others mentioned his creativity on the golf course in their remembrances of Ballesteros this week. Describe for us the unique style of play that made Ballesteros stand out.
Well, he was Houdini in, you know, soft spikes. The guy was just amazing at extricating himself from trouble. In all these tributes, it's been somewhat overblown how wild he was in his long game. Certainly, he could be crooked, and he'd be in the trees, or he'd be, you know, famously the British Open, he hit into a car park, and and he always found a way to save par. No one has ever fought so hard to save par as Seve, probably not until Tiger Woods came along. There was a palpable refusal to ever give in and to accept a bogey. This was an era where you could curve the ball more. You know, the modern golf ball flies a lot straighter. And Seve would play these, you know, 70-yard hook shots around trees, 50-yard cuts around houses. It was just amazing what he could do with a golf ball.
Scotland, England, and Ireland have golf's deepest roots. How is it that a Spaniard wound up playing such an important role in rejuvenating the European influence on the game?
Well, Seve basically made the Ryder Cup what it is today, which is golf Super Bowl and, you know, one of the biggest spectacles in sports. For most of the Ryder Cup's history, it was exactly like you say. It was just the British Isles and Ireland versus the United States. Continental Europe was added in 1979. Seve started playing in the Ryder Cup in the early 80s, and he brought such a fierce determination to beat the Americans and such an incredible passion. The U.S. had always dominated the Ryder Cup. I mean, it was embarrassingly lopsided. The European squad started winning the Ryder Cup with regularity in the 80s into the early 90s, and that's when everyone started paying attention to it. So Seve is really the guy who single-handedly changed the fortunes of the Ryder Cup, and he became the face of the Ryder Cup, and, you know, that clenched jaw and the fist pump and just the smoldering eyes. Nothing brought out his passion like that event.
Probably one of his most memorable victories came not as a player but as the captain of the 1997 European Ryder Cup team. How much did it mean to Ballesteros to win that cup on his native soil?
Well, he always called it his greatest victory. You know, that was the first Ryder Cup played on the continental Europe, and of course that was a tribute to Seve. There was never any doubt there was a package deal. If they were going to take the tournament to Spain, then Seve was going to be the captain. And, you know, the Americans were pretty heavily favored going into that one. That was Tiger Woods' first Ryder Cup. The Europeans had kind of a ragtag bunch. They were transitioning from the stars of Seve's generation. It was just one of the all-time great leadership examples of someone who wasn't even on the field of competition lifting the entire event, lifting his team. And Seve was everywhere. The enduring image of that was he had this golf cart that seemed to travel about 200 miles an hour because he was just everywhere. Whenever there was a critical moment, Seve would just materialize, whispering in his players' ears or glowering at the Americans. And his force of personality really shaped that event.
Seve Ballesteros was well known to fans of golf here in the U.S., of course, but many Americans might not realize the extent of his dominance on the European Tour, where he won a record 50 titles, and he probably would have won more if he hadn't developed serious back problems.
You know, Seve's prime was before the Golf Channel, and, you know, when Seve was dominating the European Tour, there wasn't much coverage in the United States, and so people never truly appreciated just how incredible a player he was. The 2 green jackets at the Masters brought a level of respect, but he was a week-in, week-out force over there. And long rough and tree-lined courses were not his forte, so he would struggle at the U.S. Open, he'd struggle at the PGA Championship, and Americans never quite got Seve. He was just a player who they didn't get to see often enough to truly appreciate. If Seve Ballesteros was in his prime now, he'd be as big as Tiger Woods ever was. He was a handsome guy. He was a fun character, and just the panache, and you could not take your eyes off of him.
European Tour officials will meet on Tuesday to decide the host of the 2018 Ryder Cup, and Spain is in competition with France, Germany, Portugal, and Holland. Ballesteros' family has urged the committee to award the Cup to Madrid as a tribute to Ballesteros. Is that likely to happen?
I don't think so. You know, the 97 Ryder Cup is still the only one that's been played on the continent, so I think they're going to want to take it to another country, and it would certainly be a nice tip of the cap to Seve, but these things are so much about money and about other factors that the European Tour is not that sentimental. They're going to cut the best deal they can. And, you know, if Seve was around to be the face of that Ryder Cup, even if he wasn't the captain, he would have been, I'm sure, deeply involved. But without Seve, I think, if anything, that hurts their bid.
Alan, give us one last enduring memory of Seve Ballesteros.
His final Ryder Cup as a player was in 1995 at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York, and the quintessential bad golf course for Seve. Thick, rough, narrow fairways, towering trees. So he was playing a singles match against Tom Lehman, who at the time might have been the best ball striker in golf, just hit every fairway, every green. And here was Seve getting lost in the woods on almost every hole. And he sounded like a woodpecker. I mean, his drives were clanging off three or four trees. Search parties were convening to find his shots. And he kept making these absolutely miraculous pars, and Lehman could not shake him. You know, it was such a high wire performance, and ultimately Lehman was just playing too well, and he won the match. But in a weird way, that was Seve's greatest day. His desire and his will and his creativity, it was really on full display. And you know, Lehman still talks about that performance and just shakes his head.
Alan Shipnuck is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and a columnist for Golf.com. Alan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.
If you'd like to comment on something you've heard on Only a Game, please leave a message on our listener line by calling 617-353-1860. It's 19 minutes past the hour. Nathan Van Sumeren, who plays Australian rules football for a team called Simpsons, was sent off the field during a game in Melbourne last weekend. That wouldn't be much of a story if Van Sumeren's offense had been slugging an opposing player or strenuously arguing a call, but he got the boot for sporting a dangerous haircut. Before the game, the umpire had warned Van Sumeren about his spiky mohawk, but officials had joked about his haircut in the past, so the player didn't give the ump's remarks a thought. Then he got carded and dismissed. The decision has since been ruled, quote, an incorrect interpretation of the rules, which is a good thing for Van Sumeren, since he has no intention of changing his hairstyle.
Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut.